What we always had was we always had pressure from foreign influences, foreign interference from different countries. Back in the beginning of this country, it was Great Britain and France. It's just migrated to countries like China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea. And these are all countries that have had some play in our election processes for the last, probably for the last decade. We've migrated from people going in and voting by hand, by raising their hands, to paper ballots. Now we're into the 21st century and we have these machines.
Right.
And these machines, what we do know, one of the things that we do know for certain, is that the machines are connected to the internet. Our FBI and CISA, the cyber arm of the Department of Homeland Security,
right.
they gave out these alerts and they said, hey, Iran is interfering in our election process. The machines are not supposed to be connected to the internet.
Right.
They're supposed to be free of the internet. Well, if it's connected to the internet, that means that anybody in any country, and I can name some of the countries. So we know China, we know Iran, we know Spain had something to do with it. We know Serbia. We've had Italy come up. We've had Germany come up.
Right.
You can't have a million people sitting in computers controlling this.
Right.
So you have to have some algorithm, some set of steps that computers can run automatically to control it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I figured out.
It's impossible to have this same glitch
every time
in every single county. And so far, it's been every single county you've done in the United States.
So far.
The same thing. The same machines, the same attacks, the same people, the same corruption that went on, the same crime against humanity was all crossed all the states.
So for me to get 1.000, and I'm a physicist, that ain't natural, buddy.
Right. So it couldn't be done by humans.
No. No, this is not by
natural. 100% impossible.
No.
Had to be machines.
Yes.
And they had to be online.
Constantly online.
Constantly online, everybody. No way could you ever do that humanly to make all of them exactly increase the same percentage.
When I've shown this to other people, they've said, well, gee, how could people do that? And I say,
you couldn't. It has to be, machines.
People. It has to be.
And it rhymes with Dominion. And it rhymes with Smartmatic and ES&S. All these machines that were used out there cannot be done by humans.
Cannot be done.
And you have to have access before, during, and after.
This is too extensive. It could not be done by humans. It has to be done by computers. A room full of computers somewhere that's connected to the internet, preparing, monitoring, controlling, cleaning up the mess afterwards.
Right.
And you have to have each step, and it could not be humans.
So it was a well thought out plan.
We had the most massive cyber warfare attack, Mike, in history on our electoral system.
This is cyber warfare. This is the Chinese doctrine of unrestricted warfare. And it goes all the way back to the writings of Sun Tzu. The acme or the pinnacle of war is to win without fighting.
I mean, we just can't not allow this type of activity to occur with machines that we know they're connected to the internet when they're not supposed to be. We have IP addresses, internet protocol addresses that are electronic highways going back into these countries, and we can see the activity. We can actually see the electronic activity. And believe me, folks, if you're paying attention and you watch some of the data that Mike Lindell is talking about putting out there, take a look at it. I mean, this is not made up stuff. This is real stuff, and it proves that we had foreign interference in our election.
WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Mike Lindell docu-movie, Absolute Interference, scientific and national intelligence proof that enemies, foreign and domestic, used computers to hack the 2020 election. The Mike Lindell docu-movie, Absolute Proof, was seen by 70 million in the first 4 days and 150 million in the first 4 weeks. Mike Lindell has absolute proof that the largest cybercrime in world history occurred through absolute interference. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
Hello, everyone. The last time I was in this studio, we were filming Absolute Proof. I want to give you an update on that. It has now been seen by over 150 million people around the world. And when that launched, I want to bring you up to date on that. When we all the way up to February 5th, all the way up to the 4th, I give everyone, all the media, my phone number, my direct phone number, not using any PR firm. I like to talk to them direct. And these are all your media, from CNNs to your Foxes to the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of them, USA Today, ABC, NBC, CBS. They all have my direct number. Well, up until the 4th, every single day, from morning till night, they called up. Hey, Mike, you know, you lost your Twitter. You lost your MyPillow's Twitter. They're boycotting you. Your retailers are leaving. All these things. And I kept telling them, you know what? And the reason they're doing that is because I have proof, 100% proof that our country was attacked by China, by communism coming in, this foreign interference to our elections through the machines, Dominion, Smartmatic, ES&S, all of them. So every day they're mocking me in the news. They're mocking me on late night TV. Jimmy Kimmel, he was great at, you know, making fun of the evidence. You know, it's conspiracy. Mike Lindell's nuts, all these things. Well, I kept telling them, on February 5th, we're going to launch. We're going to show you all the evidence in this documentary called Absolute Proof. I told all the media that. Well, here's what came. On February 5th, when I left this studio that morning, and this launched at 9 a.m. on February 5th, here's what happened. First of all, crickets. No media called me. They didn't call. They didn't write. Nothing. But here's what did happen. This started, it opened up. Vimeo took it down. YouTube took it down. This is within the first couple hours. 50,000 people a minute were watching in to come in and see this evidence. 50,000 people a minute. Then it goes up on Facebook. And what does Facebook do? They put a sign over it that says contains nudity and profanity. They did this big attack on this evidence. And none of them out there said, oh, this, you know, this isn't true or this isn't true. They just completely didn't show it. They didn't talk about it. But we all seen it. Every one of you out there seen it. What we're doing tonight, we have another two-hour documentary here, and this is going to show so far what we've did. We validated what you've seen before, the cyber attack, the IP addresses, the IDs of the computers. But tonight, I, for the first time, am going to see stuff that I've heard is the most amazing evidence to add on to what we already have, the 100% proof times two. It's going to be a great, great, great 2 hours, and I can't wait to get started. Hello, everyone. Well, now we have General Mike Flynn, a hero in our country, and another divine appointment where I actually met him in January for the first time. And, you know, as you all know, I got my evidence. I got the first piece of evidence, that new evidence on January 9th, where I went all in against these machines and this foreign takeover and everything. We had an absolute proof. And now here in this one, I wanted the general to come in because he knows a lot more, and it started a lot earlier for you.
Yeah.
And thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, Mike, you know, thanks for having me. And Absolute Proof was our Absolute Truth was an unbelievable show that came up and at the right time. And what I would just offer on foreign interference in U.S. elections goes all the way back to the founding of this country. And without belaboring all the history of it, one of the things that we learned right after the 3 November election, we had this individual who was participated in the Venezuela election. And this is where the Dominion machines first popped up.
That was with Smartmatic,
right?
Smartmatic
and
Dominion. The birth of the
machines,
right. Everybody.
So, you know, and we'll talk about the different machines that are used. Dominion, Heart is another one. ES&S is another one. But these machines that we have applied to our election system in our country. So what we have is we had this individual, and we knew all of this before we met.
Right,
started to talk about all this. We're following not just the foreign side of it, but how are they working with people inside of our own system, too,
inside
of the election process in the various counties.
So over the cheating over the decades and centuries that's gone in our election, just graduated now to where it's high tech.
So it's high tech. So what we always had was pressure from foreign influences, foreign interference from different countries. Back in the beginning of this country, it was Great Britain and France. It's just migrated to countries like China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea. And these are all countries that have had some play in our election processes for the last decade. We've migrated from people going in and voting by hand, by raising their hands, to paper ballots. Now we're into the 21st century and we have these machines.
Right. This inspired Braun and the organizers of this year's DEF CON hacking conference to collect over 30 pieces of voting-related equipment, including voting machines and a mock elections office, and tell a group of hackers to try any means necessary to break into and reverse engineer them. And it didn't take long. Several were compromised within the first hour and a half.
So if you're a voter in America, we're likely hacking a machine that you vote on. There's a few dozen of these machines and also electronic poll books. In some states, people check in on an electronic device as opposed to a paper book.
Do you think that nation states, real criminals, already have an idea of some of the vulnerabilities that are being discovered today?
Absolutely. It's all documented. It's in public documents.
Right.
It's not hiding anywhere. You can go actually to Secretary of State websites and download and learn hundreds and hundreds of vulnerabilities.
By the end of the weekend, all of the available machines had been hacked successfully. Do you believe that right now we are in a position where the 2020 election will be hacked?
Oh, without question. I mean, the 2020 election will be hacked no matter what we do, even if we're as more successful than I even think we could be in securing our elections.
Right.
And these machines, what we do know, one of the things that we do know for certain, is that the machines are connected to the internet. And most people in this country, when you go in to vote, I believe from everything that we discovered, none of those machines are supposed to be connected to the internet. None of them. You're supposed to go in, take your piece of paper, put it in there. You know, you vote, and it's counted, and it's a legitimate, free, fair, and transparent count. And what we've learned is that because they're connected to the internet, we have all these paths, these electronic pathways, or these electronic roads that lead from that machine where that individual voted, where a U.S. citizen voted, and it goes back into these IP addresses. And all an IP address is, it's like a roadway. It's an electronic highway, and it goes back into another country.
Right.
It goes back into, we know, because the FBI and the cyber arm of the Department of Homeland Security, CISA, which some people learned about during the post-election process, they basically gave alerts out on the, I think it was the 28th of October, prior to the election, and on the election day, the 3rd of November, and they alerted us that Iran was interfering in our elections. On those 2 days alone, one was a couple of days prior, and one was on the day of the election. So our FBI and CISA, the cyber arm of the Department of Homeland Security,
right.
Yeah, they gave out these alerts, and they said, hey, Iran is interfering in our election process. Most people don't know that.
Because they can see the cyber attack, or they can see the attack.
They can see the actual digital fingerprint or digital footprint, if you will.
It's that cyber, that spyware we've talked about in our In Absolute Proof.
Exactly.
And one of the things, too, and then we found out in Absolute Proof, like 60% of the attacks came from China, the IP addresses.
So when you start to talk about the foreign interference, now what you have to understand is who are these groups of countries that are working together to interfere in our elections? They do not do it one-off. Like Iran's not on its own doing it. Russia's not on its own doing it. Venezuela's not on its own. And neither is China. The big sort of gorilla in the room is China.
Many have concerns about voting systems with remote access software. And I think we want to make sure that companies no longer sell voting machines that have network capabilities. We need also to understand supply chains. In December 2019, a study released by Interos, a supply chain monitoring company, showed that one-fifth or 20% of the components in a popular voting machine came from China-based companies. Furthermore, close to two-thirds, or actually 59%, of suppliers within that machine's supply chain had locations in either China or Russia.
China is clearly, I mean, everything that we've learned about the ownership of some of these machines, companies, to how they're actually operating inside of this country, and then all of the things that we've learned about cyber warfare and information warfare over the last couple of decades, particularly as it relates to China, the theft of various databases, and everything that we represent in our digital life, pretty much the Chinese have stolen that information.
Well,
so now you take it to the elections.
Right.
You take it to the elections, and you look at the machinery that we are using in our election process, which, you know, I don't know how we're going to go forward as a nation and continue to use these machines, knowing that what we just went through was really a false election. It was a false election. And I know that some of the states that we looked at, some of the contracts that we looked at, the machines are not supposed to be connected to the internet.
Right.
They're supposed to be free of the internet. Well, if it's connected to the internet, that means that anybody in any country, and I can name some of the countries. So we know China, we know Iran, we know Spain had something to do with it. We know Serbia. We've had Italy come up. We've had Germany come up. I mean, so these are just, and of course, Russia.
Many of the states of these United States still use outdated, easy to hack voting machines.
In every single case where a U.S. voting machine has been analyzed by competent security researchers, they have found vulnerabilities that would let someone inject malicious software and change election data. Every single case.
That's Professor J. Alex Halderman from the University of Michigan. He's one of the world's leading specialists in voting systems. He's helped Congress draft legislation on how to beef up election security. But if the machines aren't actually online when you vote, there's no way to hack them, right?
This is something that you hear all the time in the U.S. from election officials. Unfortunately, it's not actually true. Those election management system workstations sometimes are connected to the internet. Or the data that's programmed into them passes through an internet-connected system. So we're just one or two hops away from an online attacker.
I think we need to worry very much in 2020 about not only Russia, but Iran, China, North Korea, and other countries that have sophisticated cybersecurity offensive capabilities.
Most people won't see it in the regular media in this country, but New Hampshire as an example.
Yeah.
So New Hampshire, one of the things that they learned up in New Hampshire is that in one particular district, I guess, or certainly one of the counties up there, all of the machines started the day with 300 votes already in the algorithm or already in the machine counted for Joe Biden. 300 votes already before anybody even turned the thing on. So when they turned them on, 300 votes. We know that in New Hampshire right now, that's being investigated, and I appreciate the people of New Hampshire doing that. I think it's District 20 or 22, Claudia Tenney out of New York. Well, she didn't concede her race, and I think that they did three canvassings. She continued to win each canvassing, and lo and behold, in her election runoff, in her election race where she won, and now she's a congresswoman from New York, her problem there was also the machines, and the machines not operating properly and to disadvantage her, and now the defense against her, the people that are attacking her are saying, well, it's, you know, the machines are the ones that gave you the race. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. We know from other information that we have that in other states, and this information is going to come out,
right,
in other states with these algorithms, and even the word algorithm, you know, is too many syllables for most people to understand. But essentially what it is, it's a way to manipulate the data in one of these computers, one of these phones, or one of these machines that they use. Basically, you can set the machines for a certain amount of votes already, so when they come in at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning on the 3rd of November and they turn the machine on, it automatically has a number that is for the guy that they want to win. And in this case, we know of one particular state where we're looking at it, and we think that the machines were all set at 35,000.
It is, Mike. Yes, yeah.
35,000.
We won't name no states, but Arizona.
Yeah, but it's going to come out.
I mean, it's going to come out. And this is all, and that's just another way that to cheat with these machines.
Right.
There's actually four ways, maybe even more we don't know about, but these are all the online ways. And, you know, we were talking earlier, if you watch the movie, someone said, Mike, you got to watch the movie Kill Chain.
Right.
So I watched this movie, and I'm going, what? It was like a year ago it came out on HBO, and my own senator, Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, she's in the movie saying we should never have these machines.
We're very concerned because there's only three companies. You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
We don't know anything about how they organize themselves and how their software works, because it's all proprietary.
The degree to which the voting machine companies will say, we got this, that's almost always a warning sign for anybody in the cybersecurity business, because unless they are really truly skilled and have been doing cybersecurity as their main business for a long time, they usually don't got this.
Unlike Microsoft, who's actually very transparent,
about their security issues, and they have hackers routinely come in and hack them, and then they make their vulnerabilities public information in most cases, the voting machine vendors are the opposite of that.
What I have found, especially in the voting system arena, is that security is not really taken very seriously. We posted a testing plan with the California Secretary of State's office saying we were gonna do X, Y, and Z, and they approved that plan. And so we started that plan of testing, and what we found is just, it's staggering. There were multiple vulnerabilities that could allow an attacker to get the highest level of privilege or the highest level of rights, and then gain remote access into the system and do what you want to do, whether it's change an election or shut the system down. And then when ESNS discovered that we were not using their testing plan, so they were appalled. When we used our own testing plan and found these vulnerabilities, they pretty much told us that they had their own team and that they were not interested. The fact that we have vendors that say you cannot look at our code is the first problem. In 2014, we evaluated Dominion's democracy suite. We'd found a number of vulnerabilities. The same thing that with ESNS, we found multiple operating system patches missing. And essentially what that means is an attacker can inject code into that system, execute that with the possibility of receiving some sort of control. If I can get on that system, if I can get access to the database, and if I can change the elections, change an election for a city, for a county, for a state, however. How can a vendor sell a voting system with this many vulnerabilities? And I can't find a straight answer.
Amy Klobuchar's in there. Senator Blumenthal, I think, is the other senator in there. And if you watch Kill Chain, which is before, this happened over a year ago, before the 3 November election, these Democratic senators are talking about the machines and how corrupt they are, and that we shouldn't count on these machines to actually function properly during our federal elections.
Voting is our capability to have a peaceful transfer of power. If you don't have that, the alternatives are revolutions.
We call them voting machines, but they're nothing more than obsolete computers.
2002 is when they put them in service.
A commonly used argument, they are never connected to the internet.
No voting machines are connected to the internet.
Not connected to the internet.
Not connected to the internet,
and therefore cannot be attacked.
Oh, it wants to go to internet. That's very nice.
In 2016, we know that Russian actors targeted state election systems.
When people say no votes were changed, it misses the point.
Imagine you go in and flip the digits of everybody's address.
When you prevent people from casting a ballot, you've hacked an election.
We may be buying the world's best 20th century military when the battlefront is election security.
I had full access. I could have changed any vote.
It's called a kill chain. Weaponization, paralyzation. When the governments cannot take action, that's when you finish the target.
How confident are you that the 2018 midterm elections are going to be legitimate?
I'm very concerned that you could have a hack that finally went through. You have 21 states that were hacked into. They didn't find out about it for a year, and that's one of the reasons that we want to pass our bill, so that that there's now a requirement that they tell the individual Secretary of States immediately so they can protect themselves.
So they were concerned, and they were saying it because, and the reason why Kill Chain was even done was because of all of the noise about Russian interference in the 2016 election. So as they looked at this, and they looked at foreign interference, which is rampant. Foreign right. interference has happened in our country for decades, as I mentioned, and it's been going on forever. We are now just in a much more sophisticated means by which they can interfere, and that's with these machines.
And that's so we what
can't
they
count
right.
That's what they were,
what they
arguing
were
about.
Concerned about.
Yeah.
So here we have Democrats concerned a year ago. They were concerned that it would happen to them
right.
you know,
in the 2020 election.
And here's what I want to say. Right now, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. These machines and this attack by China and other countries on our country, this is everybody's concern. If we don't, if this doesn't get changed now, yeah, it's over.
We are at a transition point in this country where we're sitting here after this 3rd of November election. Here we are, you know, in March of 2021, and we're facing this sort of divergence for our nation. Either we're going to continue down the path of being a constitutional republic, or we're going to continue down the toward this path of being a Marxist socialist country. And I think that what we have to do, Mike, is we have to really resolve this 3rd of November.
Needs to, right. This, and what we're going to do, just so everybody knows, and the next 6 weeks, we're pushing out, just like this documentary you're watching right now. We're going to dump this out. The new social media platform I have up to fight. Right now, our constitutional rights are just getting, our civil right. Number one, the First Amendment, the right to free speech. Right. That's the first thing they've done, is taken that away from all of us. Nobody's hearing about it. But we're going to do an evidence dump. Just dump it all out there. I believe this is going to get, when it gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to look at it this time, because everybody, they all probably watched all this stuff over and over again, and they I'm giving them every reason they can't say no.
I mean, we're kidding ourselves on these machines in our election process. And for anybody in this country that stands here and tells you, oh, this is all a conspiracy theory, how many times have we heard the United States government say we've been cyber hacked by the Chinese or by the North Koreans, right, or by Russia? I mean, we have big, you know, the big U.S. intelligence community with their intelligence community assessments, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the House Select Committee on Intelligence, the reports that they've come out year in and year out about hacking and about foreign interference in our elections. We have reports in 2017, 2018, 2019, and the summer of 2020 that led us to what we know to be true, which is, right, we know foreign interference is going to occur in our elections. Right. And so knowing all that, kill chain, as you mentioned, right, you had the Democrats come out and they were all worried about, right, the machines in the year leading up to the 2020 election. And now all of a sudden, when we find out that the machines actually corrupted our election outcome in a massive way, everybody goes, oh, wait a second, there's nothing to see here.
Because we never get cyber attack. Party.
Right,
right.
That's
but,
right.
But you know what? Here's what I say. I want to say it again. The miracle, I think it's a miracle where we're at right now. When we say we almost missed this, you have the first miracle that they outbroke the algorithms tonight, mm-hmm, because if it hadn't broke the machine algorithms and Donald Trump getting more votes, exactly, than they ever expected, we would have all went to bed at 3 a.m. Every state would have turned in their number. We'd have said, better luck next time.
Right.
You know, so instead, we opened, you know, we got to this point with all these machines. November 3rd passed, December 14th passed, January 6th passed, January 20th passed, March 4th passed. But you know what? I look at it as a good thing. You know why? Every single person in this country, my friends that are Democrats, mm-hmm, they're going, what is this? Right. This is socialism that came in and communism. Mm-hmm. This isn't what they voted for as being a Democrat, a traditional Democrat.
Right. Right.
And I believe, and you know I believe this, we've talked,
yeah,
I believe when this manifests out, it's going to be the greatest uniting of this country.
Yeah.
I don't care what party, I don't care what people, and we're going to get back to a time. Another thing that's come out of this is all the corruption has bubbled to the surface. Whether you're Republican, the crooked Republicans like in Brian Kemp and, right, those people, Brad Ratzenberger, all these guys that bubbled up, senators and Republicans and Democrats, all these people. And now, this is what I've seen. I was never into politics. I didn't know anything about politics. And all of a sudden, now that I've been submersed in it for 4 years and seeing all these, meeting all these people, what I found out is most of the politicians either have a political agenda, mm-hmm, or a personal agenda or a party agenda. I mean, it's all...
Or they're compromised.
Or they're compromised. That was my next thing. Or, yeah, they're compromised. Or blackmailed somehow. Yeah. So you have that. And there were very few people that I found, one being Donald Trump,
right,
that where he actually was for the people. You're making decisions and ignoring all this noise and saying, here's a problem, here's a solution. But what will it manifest to help the people? We're supposed to be a government for the people.
Right.
And that's what we know. We talked about it. Well, you start picking politicians going forward, they better have an agenda to help the people.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be. Our country, you know, it was built on individual liberties. The Constitution is about individual freedoms and choices. I mean, that's what it's about. It's not about collectivism. It's not about state control. So We kid ourselves in this country, and I think that this whole kill chain, and we've talked about that a few times in this show, because people need to go and watch it to understand why we are making this argument now, because this has been going on for a while. The Democrats, and you're looking at a guy who stood with Donald Trump going into the campaign in 2016 as a Democrat, grew up as a lifelong Democrat, and I've subsequently changed because it's never been about, as Mike talks about, getting into politics. It's never been about politics. It's been about the country and serving this country the best that we can. And what I would say is that we are doing our country a disservice if we don't get this thing corrected and if we don't take a hard look at what happened on the 3rd of November. If we don't do that, folks, we are not going to have the country that we believe we should have, which is a constitutional republic built on individual liberties. We're going to end up with a Marxist socialist country, and all of us are going to wake up one of these days, and we're going to be living in a police state.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, in Venezuela, when we went back, when right. It started in Venezuela, then they flipped that country in 2 years, right?
Right.
Complete
so
takeover.
What I learned almost right after the election, when we started to really go, okay, wait a second, what happened? And we started to talk about how the machines really were impacting, as well as some of the other aspects of what was done really from the 4th through the 7th of November. This issue of Venezuela came up, and we had the opportunity to get some feedback from one of the individuals who was in Venezuela at the time, who was working with the Chavez government, and it actually caused, they were able to take these machines that they had in Venezuela at the time to basically ensure that Chavez won the election, and then subsequently down the road Maduro. So it was almost like the machinery was being tested, if you will,
absolutely,
in another country to kind of get a sense of, can you actually do this? And,
right.
and it worked
right.
for them. One of the things, and I don't know if you can show it on this show, but certainly everybody needs to read Justice Clarence Thomas's dissenting opinion that he wrote, because his dissenting opinion, because of all of these cases that bubbled up to the U.S. Supreme Court, nobody looked at the evidence.
Right. Nobody.
No judge other than one brave judge that I'm aware of up in Michigan that looked at the actual evidence, even up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So Justice Thomas's dissenting opinion, which is a very historic read, he essentially says, we are going to lose confidence in one of the most precious institutions in our country, which is our ability to conduct an election. And so that alone should scare every American citizen, because if you have somebody that looks at it like that, because he's looking at the issues in play across the country, because he's smart enough to do that, and he's really one of the only brave ones up there at the Supreme Court level to actually look at the system in place and say, wow, we got a problem. None of them looked at the evidence, and they didn't bother to do that, and that's a shame. So now what we have to do is we've got to get all this information out there. Everything that we know, all the things that I've talked about from what we know Venezuela did and what we learned from Venezuela, what we know Iran did. Iran was interfering in our elections a couple of days prior and then the day of the election. We know from our own intelligence assessments, we know from our congressional inspections and investigations that they've done, we have had massive foreign interference in our elections for the last, you know, for the last 10 years, certainly for the last 4 years, and they were all griping about it in 2016, yet nobody wants to talk about it right now.
When Brad Rassiford and the president were on the phone, I can't believe that the logic where we've all been living in the Twilight Zone, this call where the president says, hey, you know, I don't know about these exact numbers, but you have 8,000 dead people that voted, 22,000 non-residents, 8,000 minors, 10,000 people voted double voted or whatever it was. He's got all these silos. He goes, we only lost by 11,730. Can you give us two of the columns? And we win. And if you remember what Brad said, he goes, well, those are the wrong numbers. And the president said, well, where are the right numbers? Or he said to his person, or where do we get these numbers? He said to his person. His person said, sir, we got them from the Secretary of State's office.
Exactly.
And then what?
Off
their website. And then the president said, well, when are you going to give us the right numbers? And he didn't answer. And the other person said, we've been trying to get them for 2 months. And you finally get Brad Rassiford, Pressburger, or whatever his name is, you get him on. Up there on, if I got him in a courtroom, I'd say, well, what were the real numbers, Brad?
Right.
You know, why wouldn't you give the President of the United States the real numbers? I just want no one out there living in fear anymore, because that's what they want. They want us to all live in fear. The socialism, communism coming in,
big
cancel
time,
culture.
Big time.
Keep the fear up. Don't live in fear. We're in the greatest, I said it before, these are the greatest times ever in history where we're part of a thing. Like you just said, those two paths we can go. Well, you know,
one is to continue on to be a constitutional republic, or another is we're going to go the way of the wolves here, and we're going to be a socialist Marxist
country. And I believe we're going to be taking the right path, and it's going to be the greatest revival ever. I use Proverbs 3:5-6: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings, in all ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your paths. Yeah, yeah. And we're going down the right path, and it's going to all open up, and it's going to be the greatest uniting ever. I really believe
I think that at the end of this, as we go through this discovery of truth, which is really all we want, that the American public are going to realize just how great this country is again.
Yeah.
You know, when people start to say that there's an awakening going on, there's an awakening with as Mike, you know, highlights his faith and the faith that we have in our system and in each other, what we need to have is we need to have faith in the institutions of our countries, particularly our federal government. That faith in the institutions of our country has broken down, and it's broken down primarily because of this election, and we cannot have this in this country. So in order for us to renew that faith, the faith that we have in God Almighty, and the faith that we have in the United States of America as a great country, as the greatest country on the planet in the history of the world, we have to allow the truth to come out. And trust me, folks, the truth is going to come out. And I will say that, and I forget the particular date that he said it, but he gave a great statement, and that was President Donald J. Trump while he was still in office. He made a statement. He said, essentially, if it was a fair game, I'll be the first one to say I got it. You know, I worked hard to win, and I obviously didn't win, but this wasn't a fair game. It was not a fair game.
Right.
And the evolution of our election system with this machinery that exists in every single state, paid for by U.S. taxpayers, and now they're telling us that we can't look inside of these things because of somebody's it's a proprietary software. Baloney. That no way in the world. This doesn't belong to Dominion. It doesn't belong to ESNS. It doesn't belong to Hart. It belongs to the American citizenry of those particular states, because guess what, folks? You're paying for it. And federal dollars pay for it in this Voting Act stuff. I think they put out, it's somewhere between $300 and $500 million spread around the states to pay for some of these election processes and systems, principally these machines.
I was the chief technical advisor to the Secretary of State of the largest state in the United States, and I was not allowed to look at the software running in Diebold or any other vendor's voting systems. To this day, I have not been allowed to look at that software.
Software like this is installed in more than 30 states. If someone tampers with it, or it just malfunctions, then the wrong people can win elections. If that happens, hundreds of representatives, judges, and other officials may hold offices they are not elected to. Democrat or Republican, it affects us all.
Suppose that we didn't have any computers at all, and when you went to vote, the voting booth was separated by a curtain, and there was a guy behind the curtain who would write down your votes. So you just dictate them, he writes them down, and when you're done, you leave without being able to look at the ballot. Most people in their right mind would not trust this process. The guy behind the curtain could be incompetent, he could hear your votes wrong and record them improperly, or it could be that he doesn't like your political affiliation and would prefer to see your votes cast for someone else. In an electronic voting machine, you don't have a little guy inside the machine taking dictation, but you have lots of people who are involved in writing the software and lots of people who could have touched the software before it went into that machine. If one of those people puts something malicious in the software and it's distributed to all the machines, then that one person could be responsible for the change of possibly tens of thousands of votes, maybe even hundreds of thousands across the country. That's a very dangerous situation.
You know, I began looking into these voting machines, and one reason I was so curious is because it's a secret how they work. The companies that make them keep it a secret. None of the computer scientists felt they could even look at the code because the code was supposed to be a secret. The certification labs that examine it keep their process a secret of what they do, and even the election officials who buy the equipment are prohibited by their contract from ever looking and seeing how it works.
Now we have with us Dr. Douglas G. Frank, and I want to tell a little bit of an introduction here. I met a gal that actually ran for Congress in Pennsylvania, and she got completely cheated out of her race. She was in the lead. The machines did their flip, and she checked in. She went precinct by precinct, actually. I got to become good friends with her, and I find out just before we were doing this documentary that she had also reached out to other people to get help, and you were one of them, actually the main one, I think, that has dug into this. And what's your background, doctor?
I have a PhD in surface electrochemistry. It's a fancy name, but it basically means I like to study surfaces.
Right.
And in my field, usually there are lots of data coming in, and you have to model it.
Right.
So give me lots of data and right. have to make models. Right. That sounds like an election to me.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And so she asked me to look at her results.
So you would know deviations and you would know the numbers, you know. And
absolutely. Yeah.
See, I deal with a lot of that too daily in my business too, where you see these spikes or whatever, and you wonder how did it happen?
Has to
have a different input to get a different output, right?
That's right.
And so you, well, why don't we dig into what you did then?
Sure.
So she reached out to you and said, hey, can you help me? Because she...
Yes. And I immediately saw some problems.
Okay.
And
okay.
I began investigating those problems in her data.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like a physicist trying to figure out a phenomenon. And I started studying those data. And after a while, I uncovered the algorithm that's being used to control how many registrations there are in a county and how many ballots there are in a county.
Uh-huh.
And it's surprising. And I figured that out in her county, and there's a fascinating correlation with the national census.
Okay.
They're using the national census to regulate that. But anyway, you can get the census county by county. But I analyzed her county.
Right. I want to, before we get started on that.
Yeah.
What you found, I want everybody to know, this could only have been done through the internet or through machines. Is that correct?
Oh, no question.
You could not have done this by hand or this.
That no.
Had to be done through a machine being online or being a hack coming in.
Absolutely. And there are stages to it. You have to prepare ahead of time.
Right.
You have to have access during, and you have to have access afterwards.
Did everybody hear that? All three. Access before, during, and after.
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow. Oh.
And by the way, in Pennsylvania, we proved each of those.
Okay.
You could see we have forensic evidence.
Wow. For,
in other words, this isn't just some scientist geek having fun in his laboratory hypothesizing something.
Right.
We actually went and knocked on doors.
You have absolute proof.
Yes, we do.
What do you mean? So you knocked on doors.
1,600 doors we knocked on. And
to see if the people were actually existed.
And they don't.
Then they don't exist.
Right. And so,
you know,
then the question is...
And by the way, everyone, I'm hearing this for the first time, too. The first time. We've never talked about this.
No, but it's a pleasure.
I want everyone to know that. And the reason I want to do this is because I'm going to have the same questions you would all have out there. I just heard that this is going to be an amazing presentation.
Well,
why don't we
you.
Get right into it?
So when I use the word algorithm, a simple way to understand that is it's just like a recipe.
Right.
It's a set of steps, a set of measurements, 2 teaspoons, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not just numbers. It's also got some steps involved.
Right.
And so that's what I figured. I figured, how are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you need to understand is that every county in the United States has what they call a registration database.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the names. It's got the when they were registered, when they were born. And it's also got their entire voter history.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, in this, you know, like for example, this last column is November 3rd election. So everybody who voted in the November 3rd election has a little X here.
Right.
Okay. But you notice a lot of people didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's a person. In fact, they shouldn't be on the rolls legally, but there they are. Boom, they voted.
Right.
And here's one, never voted at all.
Wow.
So they're on the rolls though. So the first thing you do, think of it like a credit line. You need to fill up the registration so you have more registrations than you need.
Right.
Then you fill in the ballots to get the outcome that you want.
Right.
And all you have to do is control one number, and you can control the whole election. You just decide how.
So these are people that were registered or never registered, right?
Right now, these are all registered.
Right.
The thing about it is how do you know if they're real?
Right.
There's only one way to know. You have to go knock on the door and say,
And that's what you guys did.
We did do that.
And they didn't exist.
We predicted, out of the 1,600 doors we knocked on, we predicted we would find 30% of the houses would have at least one phantom voter. Phantom voter is like you knock on the door and it says on the list that John Smith lives there.
Right.
And you have a ballot from John Smith, right? You have an X.
Right.
But no John Smith lives there.
Right.
And so
they're using people that don't exist, but they're registering them to use for their algorithms in the machine.
Exactly. Because if you think about it, after the election, what if the election's challenged? Somebody's going to count ballots.
Right.
You better have registrations and you better have ballots.
That they match up.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to control it, don't you?
Right.
So, but the thing about it is the country's big.
Right.
You can't have a million people sitting in computers controlling this.
Right.
So you have to have some algorithm, some set of steps that computers can run automatically to control it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I figured out.
Right.
How could I do that? Well, I knew who's registered and I knew who the ballots were.
Mm-hmm.
What had to happen in between? So it's sort of like, it's like a translation, kind of like the Wind Talkers in World War II.
Right.
You know, they translated it into Navajo, then the Navajo would, and then on the other side, they would translate it back into English so you could get the commands.
Right.
So I needed to figure out that language in between to get from population or registrations to the ballot. So that's what I figured out. So this is Hamilton County, Ohio. And you notice across the bottom here, you've got age. Okay. And then this is how many people in each of those count are of each age.
Right.
These are real data. By the way, you can download this right from the United States Census.
Okay.
You don't even have to do anything nefarious.
Right. So these are all registered voters.
This one is just population.
Oh, that's just the population.
Just
the population.
Yeah, you have 12,000 people.
Okay, I got you. All right.
And you notice that people, you got the millennials and the baby boomers, and then people are passing away.
Okay, all right.
That's just the United States Census. So as it turns out, the black curve are the number of people who are registered in Hamilton County.
Right.
It looks a lot like the population.
It's exactly the population.
So the look on your face is exactly the right response.
Right. Like, how could that be?
How can that be? They've got just about everybody registered.
It's impossible.
Just everybody is registered.
Everybody's registered.
So I've shown this to several political analysts and experts. And when I showed it, they're like, wait a minute. That can't be.
Right.
Most of the time it's 70-80%.
You can't.
County after county, I have seen this.
County after county.
Yes.
Now let me interject right there.
Yeah.
This is Ohio. I want everybody to know that these machines, this stuff went across the country, every state, you know. And they say, well, how can that be? Ohio was like 7-8% that Trump won by it, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He actually won by 15% or 16%.
Exactly.
This is what we have in the first absolute proof where we show you the attack on our country and the algorithms we showed there.
Yes.
Now, I want everyone to know this is completely separate from that. This is what we have over here that we showed you in the first documentary, completely separate. What you have done is validated what we told them in the first absolute proof.
And as a scientist, I love that because it's a control. This is the first time I've ever spoken like
that. We've ever even spoken.
Exactly.
About this. I'm surprised. This is amazing.
Well,
so why would they do? Why would they register everybody?
Well, because think of it like a credit line.
Right.
The more people you have registered, the more ballots you can put in wherever you need them.
Right. Right. Right.
In fact, speaking of ballots.
Okay, that was the first red flag that they matched.
Yeah, exactly. There's something on it. Everything here, none of this is theoretical. This is all real data.
This is all absolute facts and proof.
And and the exciting thing to me about it is that anybody can do this.
Right.
You could go right now online, Secretary of State webpage in Ohio, which is why I picked Ohio.
Right.
You can't do it in some states.
Right.
And you can download these data for
yourself. Where are all the crooked Secretary of States are? You can't do them in those states, right?
That's right.
Brad, we can't do it in Georgia. We get that.
I've done several states already, and there are several states ongoing.
Right.
I've already shown this in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Colorado, and Ohio.
Yeah. And they're all identical.
Everywhere.
Every single state that you've been in
is using the same algorithm.
The same algorithms with the machines.
Yes.
Wow.
The blue curve is the population.
Right.
And that's just downloaded from the census.
Yep.
The black curve are the number of people that are registered.
Right.
That's just downloaded from the downloadable database. And the red curve are the number of ballots.
Are these the ballots of people that voted that actually, but that they're saying voted?
Well stated. It's who they say voted. Yes.
Now, I don't have. I can see this right now. I hope everybody notices this. There is no way in mathematical history that the curve would be like that. That the same amount of people, 20 years old, voted proportionate to the population. The same amount of 30-year-olds, same amount of 50-year-olds, same amount of 80-year-olds, same amount of 90-year-olds. right?
Absolutely.
That's a deviation of all time. It's impossible.
And you ain't seen nothing yet.
Wow.
Just look at the shape. Look at how the details are mirrored.
Right.
I mean, the shape of the registration is mirrored.
It's exactly.
In the ballot.
This is.
I'll make it obvious for
you.
Wow. Okay, I'll make it
you
obvious.
Got, everybody look at this.
Yeah.
This is what, it didn't matter what who you voted for, what you did.
No.
They did it for you. This attack on our country by foreign interference, foreign actors coming in, and with domestic actors too, because it had to be pre-programmed, right?
Yep.
They had to be planned, they had to be online,
yes.
And then they had to be online afterwards.
Before, during, and after.
Before, during, and after. And yeah. This is 100% proof that this happened. Yes. And this is Ohio, but you're finding every place you're checking.
I did all 88 counties in Ohio perfectly. I can predict everyone.
All 88 counties in Ohio.
Yeah. And you would think, and honestly, when I was working in Pennsylvania,
right.
I was bragging about Ohio. Yeah, you guys have all these problems in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And so one of the people there said, well, have you run any other states? And I hadn't even thought about it because
right.
I was so busy
right.
digging up all the corruption
right.
here.
Right, right.
So I went over to Ohio and I was all ready to be all proud about it. And suddenly.
You're going, what?
What?
Yeah. Well, it's just like Texas. You know, they were all proud. They didn't use the Dominion machines. Well, we have 100% proof. It was all in Texas with the other machine, the
yes.
ESNS
yes.
or Smartmatic, whatever they had.
Yes.
So what? This is why, everyone out there, when I say to you all what we showed in absolute proof in the first one, the actual vote totals were almost 80 million for Donald Trump. And for Biden, it was a little over 66 million. Those are real. How can these numbers flip so much? You see, this is just Ohio. And all 88 counties having that algorithm.
Yes.
And, you know, this is, it was done every single state.
Every state.
And this is what we have over here with the spyware. We've all told you in absolute proof, the first one. Well, we're going to show some of that in this documentary too. But I just, this absolutely validates the attack of the algorithms
yes.
and this, you know, flipping through. So they... I can't even believe this.
Well, and all I did here was just take this black curve and multiply it by one number, 86%.
86%. So, what is that telling everybody?
One simple number
right.
does that. But what if you wanted it to fit everywhere?
Right.
Why not multiply by 86% here and something else here?
Right.
Well, but anyway, that was red flag number two.
Okay.
The fact that there's such a good appearance. Right.
Right.
What if I allowed you to have different percentages for each age?
Right.
Then the 86% works here, but it doesn't work here.
Right.
But what if I have a number for each one?
Right.
Okay. I can do that.
Right.
You need a different proportion
for every age. Right. So they can put that in too.
When you do put in a proportion for every age, then you can predict it much better.
Wow.
Now, I left a little bit of an error here on purpose, and you'll see why in a minute.
Okay.
Because the proportions I'm using are the same ones I use in every county in the entire state.
Oh, wow.
In other words, one set of numbers
right.
works
every single county. Now, this is, it could only be done with on machines that are online.
Has to be.
Now I'm going to ask you this, because you not knowing what we've had, and did you watch Absolute Proof?
Of course.
Okay. The stuff that you've seen at the end with all the attacks from with this spyware.
Are you kidding?
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm
now
sorry
those,
to
now
you.
Those, now those, what they use there, that system. Okay.
Yes.
Now, because you don't know how this happened, you just know it couldn't be done by humans.
It could not be done by people.
By
no.
people.
No.
It could
no.
not be done by people.
No.
So what he's validated. It could not be done by people, but we also know who did it, where it came from, where the hacks came from, how they got in. Did they break the firewall? Did they?
Yeah.
Did they? Were they allowed access?
Right.
You know, and it's amazing. You didn't find one county in Ohio or one. I mean, you checked everyone.
And boy, and there's more to that too. So I was watching Absolute Proof,
right.
and the first 3/4 of it or so was just stuff I'd already kind of heard in the news, following
right,
what's
right,
going on.
Right.
But when you got to the last 1/4. I was on the edge of my seat
because with all the attacks
and the graphics were great, but I'm a numbers guy. The graphics are cool, but you know what? I was looking at your log, 3,000 pages of logs, and I noticed in the last column, every one of those things is like, take this many ballots away, take that many ballots
right,
away,
right.
take that many ballots away, and I'm thinking, I know exactly what is going on right there. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, okay, you're providing all the access,
right?
And what does it do once it's in?
Right.
I can tell you what it's doing when it's in.
Right.
So the two married.
They're perfect.
And so on the whole time I'm thinking, I got to talk to Mike. I got to talk to Mike. Because I got the other half of the story.
And then everyone realized this. And we had this divine connection between the gal that I had met and the gal that you had met. And that's how you ended up here.
Yes.
And I want to tell you this is... All which we found out since you watched that, you know, you've seen all those IP addresses,
absolutely.
Now we've went across the country and validated. Does this computer exist? Does this IP address?
Yes.
So we validated that.
Yes.
I mean, this is since absolute proof, and it's and then now to have 100% evidence that it happened everywhere. You know.
Yes.
And they just marry each other. It's perfect.
What you did is you. You have the log, but then you went on the ground, boots on the ground, and confirmed.
And confirmed it. And that's what we did. And there's what you've seen there, that was just a sampling. We have the whole United States. We have hundreds of thousands, actually millions of pages of cyber footprints of these all attacks. And then we convert them into the actual IP address, cyber footprint, who attacked, who did it, what time they did it, what computer came out of China to do it, and what county attacked here, what computer went into, the IP of the computer, the ID of the computer. Now, what I'm going to be doing, just so everybody knows, is taking the data from that, and then we're going to take this now and go, wow, they're identical.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is, and all these states that think that this wasn't, you know, that they weren't, you know, the five swing states or six swing states, it was everybody. So what that confirmed, like I said, I always wonder, like states like Ohio and Iowa and Florida, which you won by, you know, 5 to 8%, they were double that.
Oh, easy.
They were easily double that.
Yes.
And everyone says, well, why didn't they take those states too? Well, because if they took everything, obviously you'd have an investigation right away. We were just a blessing, a miracle that on election night, they underpredicted by about 12 to 14 million votes that President Trump was going to get because of everyone out voting and getting, you know, this great president that he had fulfilled all his promises and everything else.
Yeah.
So they didn't expect that.
No.
And that's what broke those algorithms, and you've seen an absolute proof.
Well,
they broke it because why? They were running out of railroad track. They were running out of race.
That's why they had to stop it.
That's why they had to stop it in the middle of the night, and everybody knows that story.
Right.
By the way, I want to tell one more time. Everyone thought that was mail-in votes, those big spikes.
No,
that was the mail-in votes came in the day before, the morning of the 3rd.
Yeah.
I know that was a big trick. Well, what do we do now? What do we do now? That's right. It took Arizona a week to figure something out. Pennsylvania, a week, you know.
Yes.
All these things. Michigan, they just went all in. Boom, let's just put in 100 and some thousand votes for Biden. Just pop them in there, you know. But this attack... You know, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. This is, what did you think when you seen this as just a citizen of our country going, it's over, right? Elections are done forever.
Well, I'm a scientist. And so the first thing I had was elation. Woohoo! I solved the problem. Eureka.
Yeah.
Then after that, I felt violated.
Yeah.
I felt our country has been violated.
Right. This is coming out. Now, we have states coming out over like Wisconsin now and New Hampshire, and all these things are coming up where it's just going to validate this massive crime against humanity, crime against the United States, and crime against all people. I don't care what political side you're on. Do you know that there was a movie, Kill Chain, that came out a year ago, and the Democrats, when they're going, we cannot use machines. Because they have these algorithms, you know.
And they're afraid it's going to use
them. They were afraid against them. You know, just because you're a Democrat out there and this happened to be this time, you think it's on your side.
Yeah.
This isn't the Democratic Party that came in. This is communism and socialism that came into our country now. And everybody, this is what I'm saying. What's going on right now, even my Democrat friends are going, wow, this is, you know, this is not what we voted for.
Right.
This is attack on our First Amendment rights. Or what do they do when communism and socialism come in? You take away the First Amendment. You take away free speech, suppress that, cancel culture, cancel people out.
Yeah.
And then you start just going out there and saying, this is one voice and that's their voice. And it's all control, you know. So this is, it's exciting. I've told before, I said it's exciting what you just said, then you have peace. But there's also an excitement. It would be different.
Yes, if I agree.
You know, at least we know that we have all the evidence now.
Yes.
So what is done with that? You know, I said over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to do an evidence dump of just of the country and the world so they can see everything before we get this to the Supreme Court. Because, by the way, everyone, no one has seen this evidence. No one out there. This wasn't available on in November. It wasn't available in December. This is all new. It was, and yours is even brand new right now. This is brand new, and it validates what I found brought to me on January 9th. And from then on, it's been just, and you're finding it all over the country. This is the miracle that if everyone would have done their job and with the dead people, and like I said in the first episode, and the non-residents that voted, you could take all the swing states, and Donald Trump won them anyway, even with those, I call it organic cheating.
Sure.
But then we wouldn't be where we're at now to catch these machines. Yeah. And if we didn't do this, if this didn't happen, it's over. Once you say there's never, why even have another election?
Oh, right? No, the whole thing is an illusion.
It's an illusion. If did that scare you? They're going, wow, we're never going to have a fair election again in history.
And what's the first thing that happens with the new administration, HB1?
Yeah.
What does that do?
Yeah.
It basically registers everybody. Right. You're giving them an infinite credit line.
You're done. It's over.
Yes.
And that's why the whole world is watching. I've had calls from other countries like you wouldn't believe going, you know, we're praying that you guys can, you know, get this exposed, get the truth exposed, because they're next. You know, this all started back in Venezuela when they took that country in a couple of years when Smartmatic started back then. And, you know, these machines have been, you know, it's a tool. Anyone can, you know, win any election. Well, I want to win this one. You know, they asked me, would you run? I said, I wouldn't run for a dog catcher right now because somebody else would pick the winner.
Yeah.
But just so everybody knows, we have everyone out there of all these different groups now on the ground in all these states. And, you know, it just came up. I just seen it yesterday with Wisconsin. They're going to, you know, all these places now, they're going to open up stuff for auditing.
Yes,
Wisconsin, Georgia, New Hampshire, all these deviations. Now they're going to finally open up so we can look at it. And then we're going to have you. I'm going to have you, Dr. Frank, out there, you know, using this algorithms because there's just, now we can validate 3-4 different ways and validate that this was the biggest attack ever. One of the biggest crimes, I think, committed in world history.
Another word for algorithm is model. The cool thing about having a model is you can predict the way things should be.
Right.
Well, if it deviates from there,
right?
Why?
Yeah, right.
Those are the mistakes.
Yeah, those are the mistakes.
And we've got a lot of those. And I can take you right to the door. I can take you right to the address of the person we need to knock on their door.
Right.
Which is so fun about, that's what's fun about these algorithms.
It's a validation.
Absolutely, yes.
And I want everyone, you know, when you talk about algorithms too, it's like I've said before, you know, I look at my company. I look at every day. All I do is look for the deviations. What, you know, if one station does 10 times more than it was supposed to, something's wrong.
Yes.
You know, it had to have a different input to get out the output.
Yes.
Now, over here, I might have, let's say a station did 20,000, normally does 2,000. That individual station you can look into, find out, you know, was the commercial different? Did it rain that day? Whatever. Something changed it.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden one day, all my pillow outlets were all the same and the same exact percentage.
Yes.
I'm going, okay, something happened here. And it wouldn't be that they really did that money. It would be something that changed in my computers that had to do that. Because you could not, no way could you ever do that humanly to make all of them exactly increase the same percentage.